Get my eyes on.
Hey, so I'm quickly just going to tell you a little bit about Radiant College. Radiant College is accredited through Southwestern Assemblies of God University. So you're getting a full university schooling for less than half the cost. It's like a couple $100,000 cheaper than all the big universities. Not going to name any. GCU. We also have a ton of opportunities for hands-on experiences, Richie mentioned earlier, wherever you disappeared off to. We have opportunities to be on the worship team. That's personally what I'm doing. I'm learning, like, a lot. Like, I'm learning how to play the piano. I'm learning how to sing more. It's great. We have Devin, who's going to come up later, and he's learning how to be a pastor. How to, how to preach, how to run, like, the business side. And honestly, it's really great being there. Travis, our director, has been great. He's done a great job organizing all this. Also, probably our biggest event that we have for the college this year is our college preview. So a bunch of you have noticed there are little pieces of paper on your seat. So if you are of college age, so if you're a junior, senior, or you're not in school and looking to enter a college, hold up those pieces of paper real quick. Okay, so perfect. Next, you'll notice there's a QR code. So if you can pull out your phone and scan that, it's going to register you for our college preview. It is a full tour of the campus. You'll get an inside look at what we're doing here, all the facilities that we have, all the practicums that we have. There will also be food and a potential $300 giveaway. So that is February 25th. I know that is a Sunday, but if you guys can please, please, please make it, we would love to have you there. And also, if you register, there's a little section that's going to say who invited you. If you guys can please put Steven under that, I would greatly appreciate it. Anyway, Devin is going to come up, but as he's coming up, if you guys can please watch this little video that we have for you.
I think we have a video. If not, it's okay. No video. Okay, it's okay. I'm just going to get right into today. But before I get into what I'm going to talk about tonight, when you do fill that out, put my name instead of Steven. Okay. You know, and I'm going to pull out, you know, I'm about to be a dad. So, you know, broke, college, and a dad. So I'm just saying put my name. But, yeah, so I am going to be a father, which is absolutely, it's so exciting. So it's absolutely crazy, and what's awesome about that is I felt the Lord really, like, kind of leading me right before that. I never thought, never really, really in-depth thought about having, like, children and, like, thought about that in, like, every single aspect. And one Wednesday night, I was really praying, and God just gave me a peace that I never had. I was always so nervous to have children, always so scary for me. So, anyways, oh, there's a video, but it's okay. You don't have to play the video. But anyways, so I finally just had this. Okay, we're going to watch the video anyways. Okay, there you go. There you go. Okay, so I just. Okay, never mind. Watch the video. Okay, awesome. That was the video. So, anyways, I just had this piece that I've never, ever had before about having children. Then, literally a month later, Jackson comes up to me and she's like, hey, I'm like 4 weeks pregnant. Or like just the very, or was it 8 weeks? Okay, 3 or 4 weeks pregnant. Anyways, and then I began to do like the timeline in my head and I was like, oh, wow. Like that was probably right around when I was praying that Wednesday night when you gave me that peace. So it's just crazy how the Lord works. So Anyways, my name is Devin, and so I am your wonderful pastors, Gina and Chad. I am their son, so it's an absolute, yes, give it up for your pastors here. Yes, seriously. It's so special that I get to preach here because a year and a half ago, I came here and spoke, and it was the first time I had ever spoken in public. It was the first time I had ever preached, and I was talking to Jackson today, and I was like, when was that, like 8 months ago? And she's like, no, that was a year and a half ago. So time is just absolutely flying by, and you see my mind works just like my dad. It's just one ear out the other. We don't even know what's going on. We're just here, okay? So anyways, it's such an honor, and it's just so amazing to be able to come here and to talk to you guys. I'm so excited. I feel like I really, truly am a part of this church family, and I'm a part of what God's doing here, because even though I don't get to come here that much, I talk to my dad, like, probably 5 times a week, like, no joke, 5 times a week, and he tells me about what's happening. He tells me about what God is doing here, so I really feel like I'm just a part of this family and a part of what God's doing here, so it's absolutely amazing. And I just want to honor my mom and dad because, seriously, you guys are some of the best people in the entire world, and I genuinely mean that. That is not a bias at all. What you guys, yes, give it up for your pastors. Yes. They are seriously so amazing, and I love them so, so much. If I talk anymore, I will tear up and cry, so I'm not going to do that. So, anyways, as I was preparing for this message, as I was praying on God, what do you want me to speak about? I was reading the Bible, and I just began to think about what God has done in the last year and a half, what God has done in the last couple years in my life. And it really just led me to this point of awe. It led me to this point of being so thankful because it doesn't even make sense where I'm at. It truly doesn't make sense how I got from point A to point B and what God has done in such a short amount of time. It's amazing what God will do even in 2 years when you really give your life fully to Him. And so it's absolutely incredible. It's nothing short of a miracle that I'm standing here tonight, Wednesday night, preaching here in Chino Valley. Like, nothing short of a miracle. And so tonight I'm going to be talking about the love of Christ. I'm going to be talking about the love of Christ and how that propels you into action and how it propels you into what God wants you to do. So, but before that, let's pray. So, Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, God, for the opportunity for Radiant College to be here and to praise you, to worship you, God, to lift your name on high, Lord. That's what we do first and foremost tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd speak through me, God, that people who came in broken and lost and not knowing where to go, Lord, I pray they'd be encouraged, their hearts would be touched, Lord. And God, would you just speak to our hearts tonight, Lord? Holy Spirit, our hearts are ready to receive and our ears are open, so speak to us. And it's in your name we pray, amen and amen. So we are going to be just hopping right into a passage of Scripture today. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 18. So it's going to be right here on this, we call it the Skybel. You know, I work with youth students, so I got to come up with, like, cool names to make them excited and to make them laugh. So this is the Skybel, the Sky Bible. But if you don't have your Sky Bible, if you don't have your Bible, you can look at the Sky Bible. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 18. So this is Paul talking. He says, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer to those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some would say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So if you are taking notes today, which another youth term I'm going to give you, goats take notes. Not like, you know, not the goat animal, but like greatest of all time, like Patrick Mahomes, who's playing in the Super Bowl this coming Sunday. But Anyways, I thought I'd get a couple boos there. That was for Richie. But anyways, you can title this message simply "Love Brings Action." Love brings action. So my wife is pregnant, as you all know, like we've said like 3 times. We're just really excited. But anyways, my wife is pregnant, and the other day you can just keep throwing that picture up. I just love it so much. The other day I get home from work, and she's laying there. She's down bad, right? She's laying in bed, so tired, been throwing up, just feeling very, very sick. She's had a really, really tough pregnancy, like really, really tough. So please keep praying for her, because lots of throwing up, lots of sleepless nights, and so keep praying for her. But anyways, I got home, and as I get ready to, you know, take off my shoes, it's been a really, really long day, and, you know, I got up at 8 a.m., was at work all day, and then had class. I had 2 different classes that day, so I was in class all day. I get home, ready to kick off my shoes, you know, lay down, maybe watch some TV. Should have been doing homework, but I was getting ready to watch some TV, and she says to me, "Hey, I'm really hungry, but I need to throw up," which are like, that you'd love to hear that, right? So anyway, she says that. And because I'm such a great husband, what do I do, right? Says I'm really not, but I do try my best. I really do try my best. I say to her, "Hey, what can I get you? What can I get you," right? And this leads to me being at Sprouts at 9:30 p.m., getting some strawberries, getting some other various fruit, getting some chocolate-covered pretzels, like random snacks, okay? It leads me to this place. And now, in all seriousness, why did I do this, right? Did I do this, you know, to get some brownie points? You know, maybe she'll like me a little bit more. No, I did this because I love her and because I care for her. Now, don't get it twisted. She's the best part of our relationship. I just figured I'd share the one story where I look good in it. But anyways, my love for her compelled me to do something. It compelled me to be at Sprouts at 9:30 p.m. grabbing strawberries in my slides, because I love her so much. And in this same way, Paul here is telling the church of Corinth, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ changes us, and it leads us into action. It leads us into doing something. So I want to break down this passage in 2 Corinthians and figure out what Paul, what are you saying to these people? What do we need to do? So looking at these first couple verses, we see it says, "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart." So the first point of what I'm going to be talking about is going to be fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. So that first part of the passage says, we know what it is to fear the Lord, and we try to persuade others. Now, this fear that Paul is talking about, what is it, right? Is it, hey, I'm fearful that, God, you're going to come and you're going to smite me and you're going to step on me and you're going to throw me around? No, this is not the fear that Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about fear in a completely different way. So I love my dad, right? I love him so much. I care about him so much. My fear is disappointing him. My fear is really hurting him. And in that same way, we should feel that way towards our Father in heaven. See, we're always chasing righteousness, and we're not chasing righteousness in this way of we're chasing it so that God loves us, we're chasing it so that we get to heaven. No, we're chasing it because we love him so much and understand the sacrifice and what he gave for us that it compels us to do something. And so going into those next few verses, it says, we are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you the opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is God. It is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. So he starts that passage talking about the fear of the Lord. And then Paul goes into this thing that almost feels like he's bragging to this church. And it's like, Paul, what are you saying here, Paul? What is going on? But he's not lifting himself up. Rather, he's saying, I don't need to prove myself to you. Your faith, the church of Corinth, your faith in Christ, your life change is a proof of my ministry. It's a proof of what God has done in me. And why is he saying this? Why is Paul saying this? It's because people are going to try and discredit what God's doing in you. They're going to try to discredit what God has done in you. But what really matters is our obedience to God. What really matters is our obedience to God and the fruit that is being produced. We talked about it in my class, in a class the other day on Monday. But what does your fruit look like? Are you producing patience? Are you producing kindness? Or does your life look like every single other person in Safeway? Does your life look like getting mad at the person who's in front of you and not having any patience? Or does it look like you're chasing after righteousness because you know what he did for you? You know what God did for you. You know what Christ did for you. And so in that last verse we just looked at, verse 13, it says, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God, and if we are in our right mind, it is for you. It's hilarious to me that multiple times in the Bible, Paul is talking about like either someone calling him crazy, him being out of his mind. And I want to tell you a story. On Monday, our professor tells us this story, and so he knows this guy, right? He's talking to this guy, and this guy is telling him the story of how he used to work at Microsoft, all right? And he was like, not just like an entry-level worker at Microsoft, he was a top dog in Microsoft, like top five in the company, making the big bucks, right? And so this position opens up in front of him where he can be like top four in the company. And so, wow, what an amazing opportunity, right? So he begins to pray. He begins to pray with his wife, and he feels like God is telling him, hey, I want you to go into full-time ministry, as soon as this job opens up. And he's like, God, I don't know about that. I think I can do a lot for your ministry being the fourth dude in Microsoft. And, you know, I can talk to Mr. Gates. I can get him to come to Christ. And as he keeps praying, he feels like the Lord is really calling him to this. So he talks to his pastor, and his pastor says, I don't think that's from the Lord, man. I think that you need to be in Microsoft. I think that you can do a lot more for the Lord in Microsoft. So he's like, all right, you know what? Maybe that's right. So goes back, begins to pray with his wife again. Same thing. He's like, his wife's like, you know what we need to do. And he's like, okay. Goes to another pastor. And a pastor he trusts, a pastor he loves, guy says the same thing. Guy says, look, I think that your radar's off, man. I think that you need to stay in Microsoft. And God has done these amazing things. Anyways, keeps praying. He ends up going to the guy who's doing the interviewing, the guy who's going to get him that job. And he says, look, man, I can't do this. I feel like God is calling me to plant a church. And the guy goes, look, I know the leverage game, man. You got the job. Like, you got the job. Don't worry about it. You have the job. And he goes, no, I'm being serious. Like, God is calling us to plant a church. I have to put my two weeks in. And the guy's like, are you serious? And he says, yes. And so what ends up happening is the guy says, all right, don't come back. I don't need your 2 weeks. You can leave. Get out of my office. But in a little bit more choice words. Right? This guy's out of his mind. Right? Like, everything in his life has led to this moment, but he ends up being obedient and doing what God calls him, and that guy was actually the person who planted Radiant Church. So this was the person who planted Radiant Church. This was 20, I think it was like over 30 years ago that he did this, and now that community is being set on fire. God is doing amazing things in the young people. We saw the most people baptized that we've ever seen this last year. We've seen the most people saved than we've ever seen this year because of this man's obedience and willingness to look crazy. He said, you know what, God? I am going to trust that what you're saying is more important than what I think and what these other people think. And he ends up doing this, and it changes entire community. He threw away the money, which is crazy nowadays, which is absolutely crazy, because he knew what God was calling him to do. He had a healthy fear of the Lord. He had a healthy relationship with the Lord and knew what God wanted him to do. And now think about all the people who have been impacted because of his obedience, because of his willingness to say, you know what, I'm going to trust you, God. Which brings me right into point number two, which is going to be what compels you. What compels you? Verses 14 and 15 and 16 say, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Man, Paul was a motivated guy. I mean, even before he knew Christ, he was a go-getter. Like, this man was an absolute go-getter, but Christ's love for him compelled him to completely change his life. It completely changed his mission. It completely changed his entire outlook on what he needed to do, on where he needed to go. He literally went from a man who was killing Christians, who was throwing Christians in jail, to someone who would risk his life to be killed, who would risk his life to be thrown in jail because of the love of Christ, because of what God did in his life. Man, the love of Christ compelled him to change his life and to live his life for others. Christ died for all who would put their faith in him. And it's the greatest act of love possible. We see this in Scripture. The greatest act of love is to lay your life down for another. And Christ did that on the cross when he was there, and he took our shame and he took our pain. Man, Christ's love compelled me to go from somebody who only cared about themselves. Man, before God, it was like, man, I'm just worried about me. I'm just worried about getting to the money. I'm just worried about having all of my having this amount of money saved, having this saved, and moving forward in life. It compelled me to change where I was going, to change what I was doing. It compelled me from going from someone who never thought about college. Like, I always told people, I was like, I'm never going to college. I'm just going to be a real estate agent. I'm just going to do business. I don't need to go to college. It compelled me to go to college and lay my life down for the gospel, lay my what I wanted before down, and say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And in just 2 short years, it's insane to see what the love of Christ and his grace on my life have done. I mean, at 22, he changed my life at 22 years old. So at 22 years old, I had nothing. I really had no hope. I was like, man, I'm just going to, you know, I'll either just get a bunch of money or I'll just end up like a lot of my other family and end up an addict. Like, I'll just do one of those two options. And instead, he changed my life. I end up furthering my education and walking in the gifts, walking in the talents that God already had in me. So fast forward today. I'm now in my second year of college. God has done such amazing things in me. I'm on staff now at Radiant Church, so I just started at the beginning of January, and God has just opened up so many doors. And just like Paul here talking to the church of Corinth, man, the love of Christ should compel us. It should compel us into action. It should compel us to wanting to work on our marriages. It should compel us to forgive our children. It should compel us to forgive our spouse. It should compel us to go to our family members first who have done wrong to us, who should say sorry to us, and instead forgive them and say sorry to them. That's what the love of Christ should do for us. Knowing that he died, knowing that he gave everything up for us first, he loved us first when we were broken. He died for us while we were still sinners. And because of that, that should compel us into action. That should get you excited. That should make you want to go out and do something amazing for the gospel. Man, I'm really excited for what God's doing in this church. I really am. Every time I talk to my dad, it's like I remember when he first started being pastor of the church. And I remember now when I talk to him, there is just such a joy. There is such an excitement for the future. There's such an expectancy because he knows the God he serves and what he's capable of and what he wants to do in this community. And I truly believe that God wants to touch this community in ways it's never been touched before. Man, the lost, the broken who so desperately need Jesus, who so desperately need life, who so desperately need that love that compelled us that Paul is talking about, they need that. And so I love that a Youth Alive is getting started up at Chino Valley High School. Like, man, That is absolutely amazing. That is absolutely amazing because this community and that school needs that so desperately bad. And so I challenge a lot of you guys in here, man, take ownership of that. Help in any way you can. Pray. Go into their prayer meetings. Pray, because there's a generation who, if they are not told and they are not spoken to, they will not know the Lord. They will not. We've been talking at Radiant in the book of Joshua that there was a generation who came after them who did not know the Lord. And so let that not be said about my generation. Let that not be said about the next generation that they didn't know the Lord. But would there be a church in Chino Valley who would stand up and say the love of Christ has compelled us to go into our community, to pray for others, to pray for the schools, to be spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers to these students coming out of Youth Alive, and to really show them what it looks like and show them the love of Christ that they so desperately need. His love causes action in our lives. His love compels us to do something. Which brings me to my last point, which is going to be, you are made new. You are made new. The last two verses of this passage say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Man, these last few verses promise us something so amazing. That any person, anyone, no matter where you've been, no matter where you've gone, no matter what's happened in your life and what you've done, anyone who comes into Christ is a new creation. The old are gone. So when we put our faith in him, our sins, our past debts are forgiven. But Paul takes it even a step further by saying that we are a completely new person. We're a completely new person. We no longer have to live in the old habits. We no longer have to live in those old addictions, those old ways of treating our spouse, those old ways of treating our children. But we can begin to step forward, because instead, by his grace, we get to walk in freedom. We get to walk in freedom because of what he did. And that's such good news. We get to be restored. We get to have a relationship with the God of all creation. What's something so mind-boggling to me is that the God of all creation, the one who made the mountains, the one who made the stars, the one who made the amazing Arizona sunsets, the one who made all those, wants a personal relationship with us. He didn't just create everything and walk away. He didn't just create everything and is not in the details. He's in the details. Life without Christ only results in death. Death here and death for eternity. But relationship with him, when we put our faith in him, there's life. Life for eternity, and there's life here on earth too. It changes us. It should change you. If people look at you the exact same way after what Christ has done in your life, there should be a change. There should be a change. You should no longer have to walk in those things that you were walking in. One of the biggest testimonies, I think, is that when you see someone's marriage or you see someone's family, when they come to Christ and you just see a new life in there. You see a new life in the marriage. You see a new life in the family. Because that love of Christ completely changed their heart, and it began to compel them to treat that person differently and understand his love and grace. So my question to you, Family Church, what is Jesus' love compelling you to do? In your families, in your marriage, at Youth Alive, maybe it's a homeschool club. Whatever it is, what is Jesus' love compelling you to do? Because it's compelling me to see a world completely changed, to see a generation completely changed, a generation that might seem lost, and they need spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, spiritual brothers, spiritual sisters who are going to come alongside them and say, hey, let me live life alongside you. Let me live life alongside you. One of my favorite things about my parents is the fact that they didn't become pastors until they were in their mid-50s. It's one of my favorite things about them. And so I always joke with people because they're like, I tell them my parents are pastors. And they're like, oh, so you're a pastor's kid. I'm like, I'm kind of adopted pastor's kid. Like, you know, I know, like, I didn't grow up a pastor's kid, but I am now. But in seriousness, it's so amazing that when Jesus' love and grace touched them, it compelled them to make a change. It compelled them to make a change in their marriage. It compelled them to make a change in their family. And God began to do such a work. It compelled them to be in prayer like never before. And it completely changed everything when they had the realization of Christ's love and his grace on their lives. And now, years later, it's compelled him to be someone who was all about real estate, all about real estate, to spend a majority of his time as a pastor. Only the love of Christ can do that. Only the love of Christ can completely change someone's entire world. Man, new creation is going to come with some new habits. Maybe there's some old habits that you've been holding on to. Jesus, if you put your faith in Jesus, you are a new creation. You are creation. There's new life. You no longer need to go back to those old things. Maybe those the same way your parents have always been, the same way your family has always been. You don't need to walk in that. You can be that person who makes a stand and say, Jesus, I know what you did for me. God, help me be someone who changes my entire family. Just like it compelled Paul to give up being someone who was killing Christians, being someone who was throwing Christians to jail, to completely laying his life down for the gospel. He gave everything for the gospel. Only Christ's love will do that for you. Love brings action. And maybe you've never experienced true love in your life, whether it's parents, whether it's from other people. The greatest act of true love is Jesus on the cross, taking our pain, taking our shame, taking our wrongdoings, taking our past, taking everything on that cross where we should be, where we should have death, where we have been wrong and we've sinned and we've been wrong to our families, we've been wrong to the people around us, where we should be. It looks like him who's perfect on that cross saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Man, I want to be that way. I want to be someone who, when someone wrongs, I say, forgive them for they know not what they do, instead of screaming in their face. Jesus is love. Jesus, would you compel me to do that? Jesus, move me into action in my community. Jesus, help me care about the broken the way you care about the broken, the lost the way you care about the lost. God, would I be someone like Paul who lays down his life for the gospel? Who lays down his life because he knows what Jesus did for him? What's so awesome is that we get to be made right with God and we get to be in relationship if we simply put our faith in him. And so I'm just going to have everybody in here close your eyes. Bow your heads if you would with me. This is just out of respect for others. And you know, I never want to speak and not give someone the opportunity to put their faith in Christ, especially publicly, and connect with someone and pray with someone and be with someone who truly cares about them. Because the love of Christ compels us to do that. So, man, if you're in this room today and you've never put your faith in Christ, or maybe you've never really truly given him your heart. You know, growing up, I knew who God was, and I grew up in church the first 20 years of my life, but I never truly understood his love for me. I never truly understood how great his grace was. And all the wrongs that I had done, he still cared about me. And so if that's you and you say, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Christ, or you know what, I've never truly given him my heart, I'm simply just going to ask you, raise your hand. I'm not going to have you run to the front, but I just always want to give this opportunity. Well, hey, I also want to pray for a second group of people. And maybe you're in this room and you have a hard time with understanding and realizing God's love and grace for you, and that you truly are a new creation. That when you put your faith in Him, you no longer have to live in those old habits. You no longer have to live in those old ways. So if that's you today, if you could just simply raise your hand, I'd love to just pray over you. Awesome. Awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. So Jesus, we thank you for these wonderful people in this room. Family, truly family. God, I thank you for every single person who's raising their hand right now. God, I pray even now there would be a revelation of God's love and grace for them. Knowing that what you did, God, you died for them, Lord. You died for them. You hung on that cross after living a perfect life so that we could be made righteous, so that we could be in right standing with God, so that we could be in relationship with God. So, Lord, I pray that they would truly understand your goodness and your grace and your love on their lives. God, would they leave compelled to do something? I pray for every single person in this room, God. Would they leave changed? Would they leave truly compelled to do something for Christ? God, compelled to make a change in their marriage, God. Compelled to make a change in their family. Compelled to be a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, a spiritual brother, a sister to some people. God, I pray over the youth alive, God, as they start that. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would use those students going in there, God, that we'd see a change in Chino Valley High School, God. Would this generation, God, would it not be a generation that is lost? Would it not be a generation that doesn't know you, God? But would it be a generation that sees revival, God? We ask you for the young people of our world, God. We ask you that you'd send them here, Lord. Send them here. God, I pray it would be so full that Richie wouldn't want know what to do, God. Richie would not know what to do because there's so many students coming here. There's so many students being saved in the Youth Alive Club and plugging into the church and finding out who this Jesus is that they heard about at school, Lord. Jesus, thank you for compelling us to do something. And I pray we truly stand up and we'd see a change in this generation. We'd see a change in this church, God. We'd see more of this community touched. We'd see more of this community reached, more outreach, God. And we'd see Chino Valley truly change, God. Would it no longer be said about Paulden in these outer areas that they're just drug towns, that they're just places that broken and lost people go, but would they be saved and would we see a complete change here, God? Lord, I pray over the students here. God, I pray over the students here, Lord, that Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to speak to them, God, if there is anything, Lord, that they need to do, God, or if they're, God, if they have ministry in them, I pray, Lord, you'd begin to bring them out, God, that they wouldn't just go to what is easy. They wouldn't just go to what is known, Lord, but I pray they'd be sensitive to your spirit. They'd be sensitive to your voice, Lord, and if you're calling pastors here, I pray they take that call. If you're calling worship leaders, I pray they take that call. If you're calling counselors, good Christian counselors, I pray in Jesus' name, they would take that call. They wouldn't just go to what is easy. They wouldn't just go to what is known, but they'd allow your spirit to lead them. They'd allow your spirit to guide them, God. I pray that we would see true revival at Family Church. So, Jesus, I thank you for these people in front of me, these wonderful families in front of me, Lord. God, I pray that you would just speak to them. You'd speak through them, Lord. God, I pray over my parents, God. Lord, that you would continue to anoint them for this time, Lord. I pray that you'd continue to speak through them in this time, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that they would answer that call like never before, God, knowing that you are calling them to higher levels, God, that you are calling them to greater things, God, greater ways to touch Chino Valley, greater ways. Jesus, thank you for the change in them. Lord, continue to use them. God, I pray this room would be so full, Lord, that they'd have to get a new building. that there'd have to be a new building, not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of lives being changed. For the sake of lives being changed, God. I pray they'd be ready, God. I pray that Richie and Chamonix would be ready in Jesus' name, Lord. That what is coming, I pray they would receive what is coming, Lord. There wouldn't be a worry about it. There wouldn't be a stress about it. But I pray that you would send students in, God. So many students in. God, this Chino Valley High School has needed this for so long. So we thank you for allowing this to happen, God. I pray for favor in the schools, God, favor with the principal, favor with the teachers, God. And would we truly see, God, an entire city saved for you, Lord? God, it's just, I'm so encouraged by what you've been doing and surprised, Lord, and what you've been doing in these schools. And I just want to share something with you guys real quick. We have a student who recently got saved this year, and he comes to our pastor, and he's talking about what he's doing for college. And he basically got nominated for this thing at school where it's kind of like the senior of the year, and they're allowed to walk around with a bucket for like a charity. And so we've been doing this Reach series where we're going to be giving a van to a couple missionaries in Thailand who work with people who are in sex trafficking. And they're just doing amazing things in Thailand. And so he ends up getting this. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to carry a bucket around for them. So what he's doing is he's going to be carrying around that bucket all year so that that family in Thailand can have that van. A person who got saved this year, the love of Christ compelled him to do that. The love of Christ changed him. Then they're like, hey, we want you to, like, I guess they're putting on this like talent show. And they're like, hey, we need you to do that. And so he's like, you know what? Never spoken, never done any of this. He's like, I'm going to do a short sermon in front of my entire school for my talent show. And so it's just amazing. And this student went from someone who was like a big partier, like football guy. He's an absolute stud. So like just an app. And God has completely changed his life and completely turned around his life. And now he is doing amazing things for the kingdom of God. So, man, let that encourage you guys, and really I challenge you guys to really partner with Youth Alive. Really put your arms around them and say, hey, what do we need to do? How can we see this? How can we see this school changed? How can we see this generation changed? So I'm going to pray us out, and then they are going to come and do one more song. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into one more moment of worship. So, God, we thank you so much for your goodness and for your love, God. Lord, the same way that Paul's life was changed, God, I pray that we would see that same changed. Would we not be so complacent, God, so complacent with where we're at, God, but would we begin to want to see an absolute change in our community, a change in our families, a change in the people around us, God? Thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross and what you did for us, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us first and you died for us. While we were still sinners, you died for us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if you touch the hearts in here, Lord. And we say this all in your wonderful, incredible, matchless name, Jesus. Amen and amen. So